My name is Shane Gould, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at North Shore Alliance Church, if you don't already know me. And I just want to take just a second before going into the message this morning, just to say that some of you are aware that my wife, Linda, and I, we had a wonderful baby boy born to us in January named Simon. And he had a little bit of a challenge with being born with a cleft palate, but he received some surgery last week, and it went very well. And we're still not completely sleeping through the night, last night included. But he's just done really well, and I want to say thank you to quite a number of you who just said, Shane, we've been praying for you guys and just thinking about us, and thank you so much for that. And just, it's just neat when God fills you with peace for whatever he may bring in your life, and we have just certainly felt that. And I know we're not the only ones with life challenges that we need to submit to God, and to be able to do that together is just a really wonderful thing. So just want to say thank you, and also just to praise God for how things have gone. So if you've been with us over the last number of Sundays, you know that we've been making our way through the Lord's Prayer as Jesus has given it to us in Matthew chapter 6. We've been working through it, contemplating it, looking into it line by line and petition by petition. And I don't know how you found it thus far, but for me, this has been a really good opportunity to hear a number of things that God's been speaking to me very personally about. He's really emphasized some things to me just about his priorities, the kind of life he wants to lead me into that's more along the lines of his kingdom compared to the kind of kingdom that I would try to build for myself, for just the sake that he wants his will to be done. His will so much better than mine. And for the incredible gift of forgiveness that we heard a little bit about last Sunday. And so it's been a really good opportunity. I trust that God has been using these weeks on this model prayer from Jesus to speak to you powerfully about all kinds of things. It's hard to think that there's much of our life that isn't touched by that prayer that he's offered to make our own. Now, I don't know exactly when I first heard the Lord's Prayer, but my first memory, my earliest memory of hearing it, is from elementary school. Any of you with me heard the Lord's Prayer in school growing up? Every morning, a few minutes before 9 a.m., the voice of our principal would crackle through our PA system, reciting Jesus' words in this prayer that he's given, flowing through our school. And I have to admit, though, as wonderful as that was, hearing the Lord's Prayer this way, you know, sort of monotonously sort of read over this crackling PA system, it did really leave me with the warmest of feelings. I can actually still remember, I can hear his voice. Principal Lenz was his name, and I can hear his voice still in my mind, right now even. And in fact, the only line, or the only petition of the Lord's Prayer that I can remember is this fifth one that we're talking about this morning. And, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's sort of how it came across, you know, through that decrepit speaker system. But it's interesting that that's the line. That's the petition, this fifth one, that I remember more than any others in that earliest memory. You know, whether I realize it or not, contemplating these words every morning at school was teaching me something. It was teaching me how important it is to forgive. Those words were reminders every single morning of how close it is to God's heart that we live in a place of extending forgiveness to those around us. How central it is. How much it needs to be a daily exercise. Something we do every day. Because every day brings with it all kinds of things that inevitably hurt us. Inevitably, we encounter wrongdoing and pain every day. And we're confronted with this choice of whether we'll release that thing or whether or not we'll hold on to it. You know, even though I was quite young at the time, I knew that these words were important. And I knew that they were words that God wanted to use to shape my life. Last week, you know, Pastor Mark introduced the first half of this petition. Forgive us our debts. You know, we saw all over again that, you know, out of all the needs that we've got, out of all the longings we have, our greatest need is our need for the forgiveness of God. And, you know, we saw Pastor Mark sort of put on that backpack as he was speaking. And at some point, lift it off and leave it over there at the cross where it still is this morning. It's just a great illustration of that burden over the penalty of our sin and the guilt of it that Jesus offers to lift off of us when we choose to look to him and receive his free gift of forgiveness and the promise of salvation that he made available to each one of us through the cross. And I don't know if you remember that sort of first taste of God's forgiveness you had and just how wonderful it was, but it's truly an incredible thing. But forgiveness isn't something that we just experience between God and us. In the very same way that Jesus has canceled our debts by laying himself at the cross as payment for our sin, he's now calling you and I to cancel the debt of every single person that's ever owed us anything in terms of hurting us, in terms of doing something that caused us pain. The Lord's Prayer has helped teach me from a very young age that the forgiveness I ask from God is directly connected to the forgiveness that I'm willing to extend to someone else. You know, out of these six petitions, Jesus gives us, it's only the petition of forgiveness that he expands on with a condition. He says, you know, essentially, we can only ask God for his forgiveness as we are willing to extend it to someone else. And at the end of this prayer, after he finishes in chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus adds these words. He says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This morning we're confronted with some powerful words from Jesus that have huge weight and great importance for our lives. And so before we wait any further, I would just like to pray that God would help us understand these words that Jesus has laid out for us, how we're to receive them, how we are to reconcile them within our thinking, and how we experience his forgiveness. So would you invite him with me to speak to all of us this morning and to bring us into a greater place of his grace? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that it's through your Son that we receive this free and wonderful gift. But as we hear these words about a condition where you are calling us now to live that out in giving away your forgiveness to someone else, help us to understand what it is you want us to see in that. Help us to see who it is you're calling us to release. Just speak to us, Lord, this morning. Show us things that we don't even know are there within ourselves. Thank you that your word penetrates our hearts like nothing else. And so we just entrust you this morning, God who knows all, who understands all, and who loves more than anyone else. We pray these things according to your name, Jesus, this morning. Amen. As we talk about forgiveness this morning and extending it to others, there's a number of things that I want to highlight. And the first is this, that forgiveness always extends in two directions. Out of the forgiveness of the cross, you know, first God reaches down to us in Jesus with this offer of being forgiven and set free, and this invitation now to ascend and come into the Father's love. Jesus said, "I'm the only way to the Father. No one comes to him but through me. No one can taste of God's presence and love until they've received the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. He's the one who makes a way for us." And so forgiveness always comes down and then is received with an invitation to come up into just the great love of God. But then it's got to flow this way. Then that same forgiveness that we've received from God, it's got to flow over to this person over here that we need to release and forgive. It's got to go over to this person who's hurt us. It's got to go over here to this one. And over here to this person, to the person behind us who stabbed us in the back. It's got to go all around us to whomever we've run into, to whomever we've been wounded by. It's got to flow horizontally as much as it flows vertically. That's the way that God wants forgiveness to flow. Up and down and back and forth and all around. That's the kingdom life that God is inviting us into that begins with what Jesus did at the cross. And it's just a great place of freedom. I love what English pastor John Stott said about this. He said, you know, God forgives only the penitent. And one of the chief evidences of true penitence is a forgiving spirit. Our ability to forgive, whether it's great or small, that's not the basis for our standing of being made clean and forgiven in God's sight. What Jesus did for us on the cross, he's the only one who can set us free. He's the only one who can pronounce forgiveness. But Jesus is saying there's just this deep, deep connection between your willingness to give what I've given you away for you to keep receiving more. And when you begin to extend forgiveness this way, it's just a key evidence that you've really begun to receive what he's given you at the heart level. It probably took you some time in your journey with God before you realized that your greatest need, regardless of all the longings you might have in this life, is the need for God's forgiveness. Nothing could be more important than being made right with God and set free. It probably took you some time to come to that place where you believed it, and then some other time for your heart to actually bow down to that and then just be in that posture of, you're right, I'm wrong, and I need you. And in the very same way, it may take us some time to really begin to feel the words of Jesus' prayer, forgiving others. It's something like we're called to do, but it's not something we instantly feel, but it's where we need to go if we really want to fully receive what the cross offers each one of us this morning. You know, it's been said that every single petition that we find in the Lord's Prayer has got at least one corresponding story from the Gospels, whether it's a story that Jesus told as a parable, a spiritual story with a point to it, or a story about the way that Jesus engaged someone and ministered to them. And I can't help but think of the story from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, where Jesus tells a parable of an unmerciful servant who's been forgiven much. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but the story goes like this. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, one of the king's servants came before him with a mountain of debt he could never repay. And as the king engaged this servant, saw this trap of debt that he could never escape from, Jesus said he had pity on him. He had pity on him and canceled this debt and effectively let him go free of any further obligation before the king. A short time later, though, this same servant, forgiven of this mountain of debt, starts chasing down someone who owes him something. And that something is tiny in comparison with the debt that had just been canceled, that was his before the king. And in demanding payment, this servant begins to choke this person who owes him this tiny amount. He begins to choke him and squeeze him, demanding payment for this thing that is owed to him. Well, Jesus ends the story with the king finding a little bit later that this servant who he had forgiven so much of has been going about choking others, trying to extract payment from them. And so the king brings the servant before him, finding this out. And he says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 32, Jesus ends the story with these words, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus adds this line after concluding the story. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's quite an astounding story, isn't it? Hard to get your head around that last statement of Jesus. But maybe we can understand it this way. When we refuse to forgive others, we essentially are actively cutting ourselves off from that flow of grace that Jesus has been offering us through the cross. In refusing to forgive someone, we're left vulnerable to the turmoil, if you will, or the torture, perhaps, of that anger and that bitterness that inevitably will take hold of your heart and your mind and your thoughts and essentially your life when we are persistent in holding someone in judgment. You know, in the Lord's Prayer and all through the Gospels, Jesus is teaching that we can only expect to experience the grace of his forgiveness to the degree that we're willing to give it away. If we think about all that Jesus stood for, why he came, the greatest cost that he paid in laying his very life down, his sole purpose really was to come to make a way to the Father, was to come to make a way for you and I to enter into a place of being set free and being made forgiven. His sole purpose was to establish a way for being forgiven. He's simply asking us to take up that same action in our lives, in our small way, with his strength. And so to somehow take all of the benefits and receiving from his life, but then to turn our backs on living for the same purpose just doesn't jive with God. And he says, it just cannot work that way. Our heart needs to be after the same things that Jesus' heart is after. His heart is to release us and to bring us into a beautiful place of forgiveness. Our heart needs to be releasing one another that we might be able to see freedom come to each other's lives. Eugene Peterson says that in forgiving, we're pulled into the action of God in relationships. We're getting in on what God is doing when we forgive, is what he says. And so this morning, we can never think of enjoying the forgiveness of God without being willing to extend that same forgiveness to others. It's the only way we can truly enter into what he has for us. The second thing I want to mention about the importance of forgiveness is this, that we can either pursue justice or mercy, but we can't have both. We can't have both. I don't know about you, but when I found myself in a place of unforgiveness, when unforgiveness has been really operating in my life, it's most often been rooted in a deep-seated desire to see justice being served. You know what I mean? You know when someone's done something to you and you want them to feel that, you know? You hurt me, I want you to hurt. And that's my gut instinct that just rises up in me. There's this cry for justice to be served. You're not going to get away with what you did to me. I want to get you back for that. I want justice to be served. And there's a cry for justice in each one of us every time we've been done wrong. And part of the reason for that is that we've been made in God's image. God's created us with a need to know justice, with a need to have it, to have justice operating, where it brings things into resolve and it makes things right. And the Bible says that God is a God of justice. It's his heart to see things fairly played out and be made right at the end of this age. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says it this way: "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to you to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him." It's natural to want to see justice done because something wrong has been done, and God is a God of justice, and he understands that. But the only problem with that is, the only problem with justice is we're all guilty. We're all on the wrong side of the bench, aren't we? Who here hasn't hurt someone? Who here hasn't done something or said something stupid that ended up wounding someone? Who here hasn't acted selfishly before that sort of caused someone else pain in order for you to get ahead? We've all done those things in one measure or another. We've done them intentionally. We've done them accidentally. We've fallen short of the glory of God in some way or measure, and we've hurt someone else. But I love what James says in chapter 2. It says, "In Jesus, mercy triumphs over judgment." In other words, yeah, justice is good because that's a desire from God, and without it, we'd be in a hopeless place. life would be totally pointless. There'd be no consequences. There'd be no hope for anything getting better. No desire to ever see things corrected and done right. But mercy is better. Mercy is better. You can only have one or the other. You can't have both. You can't say, God, I need your mercy today. I've been stupid. I've been foolish. I've been selfish. I've done things. I need your forgiveness and I need your mercy. But I just want you to make that person pay. You know, mercy for me, justice for them. Right? You've heard that before? You felt that before. I can tell. And Jesus says, you know, it doesn't work that way. If you want my mercy, then you're going to have to be merciful. If it's justice you want, if it's judgment you want to exercise, then you're going to have to live under a place of judgment yourself. Listen to these words in Luke chapter 6 from Jesus. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. And here he's not talking about giving money. He's not talking about stuff. He's talking about giving his love, his mercy, his forgiveness away to someone else. That's what he's talking about. And look what happens when we do. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Your lap, my lap, our laps. He wants to pour into us as we are willing to pour out his same forgiveness. And then he ends, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we have to understand this morning that if we're unwilling to forgive someone for whatever the reason, we open ourselves up to judgment. We're vulnerable to living in bondage. Our thoughts and our words against others, they not only hinder us, but they actually invite judgment upon our lives. Now, let me just take a few moments to explain what I mean, because that might seem like a bit of an abstract concept. You know, when it comes to the things of God, a spiritual battle always happens in the mind, over the field of the heart. That's where spiritual battles take place. That's where breakthroughs happen. That's why the Apostle Paul said, we do not fight a battle of flesh and blood. It's not really between people. It's spiritual powers and principalities that have taken hold of our lives that we need to be redeemed from. This is the picture of the walk with God. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's in our mind that we make judgments, isn't it? Quietly, we don't usually get up on a soapbox, you know, at work and declare someone else's sin against us, you know, from our cubicle. It's in the mind. We sit in that cubicle and we think about that person and we make judgments. We think there's no audience, but there's a great audience there. We may not think there's a consequence to making those judgments, but there is. There is a bit of a law operating of what goes around does come around in the kingdom of God, so to speak. And these things have a way of coming back on us. It's in our minds and our hearts where we entertain negative or critical thoughts about others, maybe even about ourselves. Maybe the judgment is upon ourselves. We rehearse those injustices that have been done to us. We go over our failures and our mistakes again and again. And in so doing, we inadvertently exercise judgment. Now, this is not what it means to align your thoughts with God. This is not what it means to stand underneath the cross. It's the very opposite, actually. It's the very opposite. When we make judgments and we have thoughts like that, that we entertain and speak out within our minds, we sound more like the enemy. Revelation chapter 12 talks about, it gives us a description of Satan as an accuser. Chapter 12, verses 9 to 10 read, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night. He's been hurled down. I love that picture because in Jesus, every judgment against us, every legitimate judgment against us has been done away with. Satan doesn't have anything on us because we've been made clean by God. But all the same, the one who tempts us and wants to lure us into sin and judgment is the very one who, once we've taken the bait, wants to stand before God and say, see what your kids do to each other? See what that person does? You shouldn't love them. You shouldn't bless them. You shouldn't give any gift of forgiveness or grace to them. Look what they do. And this is what the accuser does before God day and night. But none of that washes with Jesus when someone has come before him and has received what he's done on their behalf. So instead of crying out for judgment, which will inevitably pull us away from the mercy and the joy that Jesus has for us, and instead of sounding like the enemy, accusing a brother or sister, Jesus is inviting you to align our voice with his. You know, as he hung on the cross, you may remember that Jesus prayed there as he hung there, as he was strung up, as he was nailed, as his breathing was belabored, as he underwent all those feelings of betrayal and of pain, of rejection, of abandonment, of being accused falsely, of being cursed, of being ridiculed. All those things Jesus experienced. And then he does something. As his hands are being nailed to the cross, he prays this prayer. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, he doesn't talk to them and say, I forgive you as you're nailing me in the cross. They probably weren't even asking or looking for it. But he brought them to the Father. He brought them to the Father, each and every one who had been involved. I believe he brought you and I to the Father that day, because we've all had a hand in the reason why he went to the cross. But this morning, he is asking us to let his mercy triumph over your sense of justice. It may be incredibly hard to let go of that desire for justice, but because of what Jesus did and what he experienced, we have just great confidence that it just doesn't matter what we've gone through. He understands. He knows what he's asking you to do. He gets that it's a very costly act to forgive someone sometimes. But he's inviting you to do it, and to do it in his strength. Let your cry for justice turn to a cry for mercy. The third thing I want to bring our attention to is that it's in forgiveness that we find freedom. And, you know, on the one hand, this could be a very heavy topic this morning, but on the other, this is such great opportunity for freedom to come into your life. You know, the reason God wants us to exercise mercy isn't sort of to beat up on us and to do things that are hard. He's inviting you to cry mercy over someone because he wants to bring you into a place of freedom. Isn't that why Jesus came from the beginning? And now he wants you to know the full extent of that freedom. Not only freedom from his wrath, the Father's wrath, in being forgiven of sin, but he wants you to be free from your wrath. He wants you to be free this morning. There's two levels you can live life on, essentially. You can live at the level of justice, which is down here. This is the place down here where justice happens, where it's tit for tat, where, you know, you need to be punished for what you did. And this is where the world tries to live, tries to reconcile things. But, you know, we can just never really get to a place of pure justice, can we? Someone is always getting away with something. And some of that justice actually turns to revenge and all kinds of ugly things. And social justice is a huge buzz right now in Western society, but wanting to make things better, and I think that's good. But it just only takes us so far. It only takes us so far. And so there's this level of justice that we can live on. And if we enter it, the enemy has rights to our life as we accuse one another of things. And we can be accused because we stand guilty. But the other level is a higher one. It's up here. And it's where the grace of God flows. It's where mercy is found. It's where freedom flows. To live up here, you have to give up things. And one of those things is demanding justice. It's in releasing someone else. It's knowing that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't just for me, but it was actually for what that person did to me as well. Jesus already paid the price for what they did. God wants you to lay down your right to justice so you can enter into a place of mercy. You know, harboring bitterness and anger towards someone is just a luxury we cannot afford. And so when we give ourselves to Jesus, we receive what he's done for us on the cross. It's this invitation to live at the mercy level up here with him. But every time someone does something to you, it's a temptation to walk back from this level of mercy into judgment. Now, just go with me for a minute. Imagine if Pastor Mark just sort of comes up out of the blue and for whatever reason just takes an absolute shot at me, you know? And I just think, wow, his punch is a lot harder than it looks. Who's doing the wounding now? Okay. I got to think, now, what am I going to do with that? How am I going to respond to what he just did to me? Well, I think I know what I'd like to do. I want to go back down to the justice level. And I want to just absolutely smack him in the jaw, just as he did to me. But then what are you left with? What are you left with? Now you're left with two wounded pastors. We're down here living life on the justice level. They're both sore. They're both angry. Nothing much has been resolved. And they're both a little bit farther from God. Up here, the Spirit of God is saying, Shane, don't go down there. Don't clock Pastor Mark. I know he's down there, but you stay up here with me. No, I don't think the Spirit of God would say that. But stay in a place where my mercy can keep flowing into your life. In fact, not only do I want you to forgive him, I want you actually to go back to him. And instead of taking a fist, I want to lay a hand and bless him. Because you know, even though he did that to you, even though he caused you great and very real pain, I still love him. And I took the price already for what he did. And I want you to love him. And I want you to speak blessing, not only for him, but if you will speak blessing, it permits me to increase my blessing in your life. You see how that works? This is the place that God wants us to live, at the mercy level. It's not our first reaction. It's not, we want to go down there, but the Holy Spirit is saying, stay here. Stay here. Stay here with me. Take these words. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And help me root them in your heart that they might become real to you. You know, there are people that are, we can hold things against that often don't even know where we've been hurt or that we've been harboring bitterness against them. They've moved on. They're not asking for our forgiveness. They're not even in the picture anymore, but we're still there. We're still at that place where we've endured that hurt. My judgment against them isn't really affecting them that much, actually. The person that's really affected the most is me. I love Lewis Smead's quote, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner is you." It's time to forgive. That's where I want to close this morning. And the question is, who is it? Who is it? Who is it that you need to release this morning? Who do you need to bring to the Father and say, would you forgive them? I don't think they fully understood what they did. If you hold on to judgment or bitterness, it's like giving a key to Satan. It's only going to let more pain in. Instead of life, you'll find more pain. It'll make you toxic. Those thoughts and attitudes have a way of just churning and increasing. The measure of grace you give to others will be the measure of grace you will experience. Release those who've wronged you, and you will begin to experience release. I've mentioned this before, but I just love this quote from Celebrate Recovery. Forgiveness is clearly God's prescription for the broken. No matter how great the offense or abuses, along the path to healing lies forgiveness. Forgiveness in no way excuses the abuser for the harm they caused you, but it will release you from the power they have had over you. I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward this morning as we just take a little bit of time to ask the Lord to put a bit of a spotlight on our hearts. to show us who it is that we might need to release and to forgive this morning. I've just asked the band to play a little instrumental music to give us some time with God. This morning may be just a first step in a path towards the forgiveness of freedom, the freedom of forgiveness. And again, I just want to say, I could not pretend to know what it is God is asking you to forgive or to release, but nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with Him. His grace is sufficient for you. That's a faith statement you have to press into, but it is. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus can help you forgive, and He can set you free when you do. I just want to invite you to bow your head with me. And we just want to give God a few moments, and then we're going to sing. Let's just bring ourselves before God this morning. Father in heaven, we just want to say thank you that you chose to pay the price that would lead to our forgiveness and freedom. And we just celebrate that this morning. And we want to live in that flow of grace and mercy that is washing over us out of that. Thank you, Jesus, that maybe that regardless of our actions, our salvation with you is secure based on what you did. But we just know there's a measure and a fullness we can have of your grace if we just completely open ourselves up to it and give it away. So, Lord, help us with those that have already come to mind. For those in this room who need to forgive themselves, Lord, I pray you just give us the courage to perhaps forgive ourselves. And maybe, Lord, you're the one that we need to forgive. Not that you ever need forgiving, but we've held a grudge against you because you've not been there the way that we wanted you to be there. And so whether it's someone else, whether it's ourselves, or whether it's even you, Lord, we just want to take a few moments to name these grievances, to release them to the cross, to leave them with you there where they've already been paid for, and to ask, Lord, that you'd help us live out these words as we forgive others. So speak to us now and help us craft our own prayer, Father.
Father, we want to say thank you for what Jesus has already paid for. The whole of our debt, the things that we have done and not done, all of that has been paid for. Father, the wrongs that have been done against me, the wrongs I've done against others, you are a God of justice, and your justice has been satisfied with the death of your Son. Father, we want to pray that you would enable us to get past justice to mercy. We want to thank you for what Jesus has forgiven. And Lord, we want what Jesus has forgiven to remain forgiven. Father, give us strength so that the past can stay in the past. Give us strength to release, to forgive. Father, the life that you call us to live is impossible without the strength of your Holy Spirit living within us. And so even now, Father, in Jesus' name, we want to invite you to release the Holy Spirit to our minds and hearts, to strengthen us to let go, to forgive, to pardon those who have wounded us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to minister your healing in our lives. We pray that you would set us free as we forgive. So, Father, we want to bless you for what Jesus has done. And I pray, Lord, not just for these few moments we've had together today, but for throughout the rest of this day and this week, would you be so kind as to continue to bring to mind people, situations, past hurts and wounds that haven't fully been healed yet? And then, Father, we pray, strengthen us for this act of releasing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.